Shalom lachem.
Hello, thank you for being with us in the New Life Educational Series with Dr. Rav Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, Nitzan Mazuz. We want to learn from Rav Lightman along with you how to build our lives in a new way, a new life, a better life, with the focus being the wisdom of this new connection between people in every place where we are, where we have relations with people, whether it's with our partner, with at work, our whole life is relationships. We'll learn how to treat one another better. We'll learn how to develop a private tool for connecting with others from a more qualitative place. Our lives will fly forward and go upward. That's what we want to build in this new life. Our discussion today takes us into the home. The home is the most basic unit in society, made up of a bunch of families. We want to know how to build correct relations in this unit so that we as parents, and especially our kids, will grow up as people that are capable of connecting with their fellow man in the best possible manner and can do wonders with their life, to be unlimited and open all the options for themselves and truly develop as people. Today, our direction is how to use in the family this educational tool of self-esteem and shame in the most optimal manner, so it will really be able to advance each of us at home to a better place, to a more developed place. Nitzan, maybe you'll bring us into this. In the previous show, we understood that there's a system that's the foundation. It's the motivation that's at the foundation of a person, a child, that on the one hand we have the shame, and on the other hand we have a desire to be appreciated and respected. So maybe I'll just read two sentences what shame is from Wikipedia. Shame is a negative feeling that awakens in a person and causes unpleasantness from the side of the fellow man. It takes the humanity away from a person and makes him unequal to others. When a person feels shame, he begins to feel himself as lower than his fellow man, and in some cases, even lacking value completely. That's the basic definition of shame, and we'd like to hear from you. How do we transform shame and appreciation to a good beneficial tool? First of all, we're all a desire to receive, to enjoy. The desire is general, with which we begin to develop, and it develops in accordance with our age and in accordance with the environment. The environment is first the mother, and then the father, and then the wider environment, the nursery school, the school, and towards everyone. I want to maintain myself in a situation, the most worthwhile situation, meaning that first and foremost, I won't be harming my ego as the central force. What do you mean, ego? Ego is, how does it say in Wikipedia? I don't know. What do you mean that it won't be harmed? The desire to enjoy life. That if I reach a situation where I feel that I can't fill it, the ego is damaged, and then I feel suffering. Shame is the strongest feeling from our ego being hurt, because it erases in me the image of a person, an equal person. When we feel humiliated, we don't feel the same as everyone. And I'm always maintaining myself not to go out of boundaries in my behavior toward others in a way that they will awaken shame in me in each and every situation. That's the side of shame. And from the side of appreciation also, I'm always trying to maintain myself, to be appreciated in the eyes of society, in a situation that I think is the most optimal, good situation. And here, of course, there's a calculation, how much I need to invest in my efforts toward my environment so that I won't reach shame and to achieve appreciation. It's all based on what's worth it. What's worth it and what's not worth it. Meaning, again, according to the same egoistic sentence, investing minimum and profiting the most, maximum profit. It depends on the environment, what my values are toward shame and toward being appreciated. What are the values? The society gives me the boundaries. If I'm among criminals, then not being a criminal, I'm ashamed. And if I'm among good people, then being a criminal, I should be ashamed. It can be completely in opposite directions. It all depends on the environment that shapes the values, and towards that, I work towards that, but I'm always between shame and appreciation. And if it's like that, then it depends on the internal environment toward a child. What are those same values? And the parents have to start giving him those values from birth, from his childhood, from the smallest things. From the moment that he begins to react, they need to start showing to him what's good, what's bad, how in their eyes it's good or bad at the height of the child. And to the extent that he grows, then those boundaries become shaped according to the new values. That's what I have to say. Now, again, we need here to not exaggerate. We need to speak to them in a way that we're not directing it directly at the child, to not make him feel inferior, or that he has to forcibly attain the values of society, otherwise it has to be very balanced. He has to be able to critique. Maybe, yes, maybe this I should be ashamed of, and this not so much. Maybe I have to get rid of this feeling of shame. Maybe I have to improve myself. The same thing with appreciation. This is not for me, or these are maybe the wrong values for this society. Let's not go to school today, a few friends say. Instead of that, let's go for a walk. Let's go play football. We won't go to class today. So then I need to understand that my appreciation in their eyes, that I'll go along with them, it can be good in their eyes, but in the eyes of others, to the extent whether it's correct or incorrect, we always need to give the child the ability to deal with everything that there is, that he'll be independent toward this environment or that environment, and that he'll have the ability to judge toward shame or appreciation in each and every environment. These are things that need to be built gradually, and they require many examples and discussions. We need to sit and discuss them. Not just to sit, we can walk around. It can be in any situation, in any place, but they demand explanations and guidance, instructions. We need to direct ourselves toward to build in him a foundation of his own in the child, that he will each time be able to not be dependent on his environment, that each time he'll look at them in a manner that, in an independent manner, as a judge, as a verifying. And from that, then he'll also receive the new preparations, new thoughts, new situations, to such an extent that in every situation, when we ask him later, why did you do this, how did you do that, even the smallest, strangest, weirdest things, even the bad things, first of all, we want to verify with him together that he'll criticize what he'll did himself. We're not screaming, we're discussing, is it worth it, is it not worth it, why was it done like this? Suddenly you lost your appreciation, you lost your ability to think, to criticize, you lost your head, as it's, so as we put it, you went blindly after your friends, they took you to that and you didn't know how to behave. You went according to your values and according to your shame, your personal shame, or according to their shame and values? Did you do a comparison? They took you to play football instead of going to school. Did you make a calculation, what's the shame of not being in class and towards your parents and everything, or towards your friends? What's stronger and what's not, and what's less? After you got dragged after them, did you make a calculation that now I'm doing this because the shame toward them, that they're screaming at me that I'm a traitor, that I'm not their friend, etc., that's operating on me more than the shame and the calculation that I'll have to give afterward to the parents and the teacher? Did I have this clear differentiation that afterward I'm putting myself in a situation that if I have to explain this, like now, I'm explaining it to my parents why I did this? Then I already drew this situation for myself, and I would understand that if I explained it to them, they would understand me, that I didn't have a choice, that otherwise I would lose these kids as my friends, and I won't have friends, and I won't be able to do this, so I'll be seen as a traitor among them. I won't be able to come to school, etc., etc. Did I make the right calculation for myself? And if I did, that if I did it like this, then I do it. Today, in modern life, did I connect with my mother and tell her that I'm in this situation, that I have no choice, and I hope that she'll understand me? Let's say the whole class is doing outbreaking, going on strike, the whole class, and the whole class is not going to the lesson, and I have to go along with them. Otherwise, I'm going to lose my environment. And you taught me that losing the environment is really bad. And then I'm in a situation that I don't know how to verify. So I call every child today has a phone, and he calls his mother. In a few words, you gave a very interesting model here. Maybe let's put it into words. You're talking about a scale between shame and appreciation, and you said the scale doesn't work in the air. It always works in relation to something, in relation to the education I received and that same situation that I'm in. So there's a ladder of values where I'm always measuring myself according to this ladder. Now, what you described a situation where actually there's two systems, value systems. There's the one that we have at home. Let's say what's accepted in society. And there's another value system that's accepted by my friends. And when there's a gap between these two value systems, then sometimes I don't know what to do. And what influences me, and this is the question, what influences me stronger? Which system, value system, will influence him more? Not being like his friends, or precisely not doing according to what's accepted by the school or the parents? What influences him more? Which value system will influence him more? It depends to what extent the parent penetrated their values inside him. Only on that. I checked it on myself many times in life. I would be in such gangs, and I don't know why, but they used to glue themselves to me. All kinds of people, kids, the age of 15 or 16, really like future criminals used to be my friends. And they used to take me gladly with them. I don't know why, but they wanted me to join the gang. And I went with them a bit, and I felt that I can't go with them. The thought and the desire and the behavior and everything, even though they're good and strong and big and they don't care about anything, I'm not like that. I was always in the middle of something. I would leave it. I think that the education from the home is what determines everything. As a parent, I'm very happy to hear that. But again, it's because I received it. I received it in a very strong way. Let's get into this issue of education in the home. If up until now we spoke about a conflict between the child's value system and what he acquired at home against an external value system that he's dealing with, let's say his friends or people outside, let's get into his ability to use like an educational tool like shame and appreciation. Let's go inside the house. And let's look at the house as a mini society. Inside the house there's a few characters, and they themselves, they're like a mini society. So I'd like us for a moment to leave what's happening outside and just verify the tool itself, the educational tool. There's a lot of interactions inside the house, and these interactions are measured like everything according to the value system, what we defined, what's good, what's bad, what's less good, etc. How is it possible to deal with it? Let's say I'm one of the children and I did something that's not according to the values that we want to carry out as the relationship we just defined here in the house. I did something against it. How do you, as the family members or the parents leading this process of building the new family, how can you use in an intelligent way in the house, in a way that won't shake me up too much, won't break me too much, and on the other hand, will allow me to be like a flashlight to light the way for a better path? How do you take these two reins of respect and appreciation in the house so that it will advance me to understand things, to feel things that I myself don't? only through discussions, that we together think that truly the child, who is he after all, is a result of education, is a result of our life. He's in a situation that he doesn't know how to deal with. He's not guilty. But rather, we apparently missed something, or he truly wasn't ready for such a great influence, new influence on him, and didn't know how to deal with it, how to appreciate the situation. So we didn't turn it into a big tragic situation. You shouldn't turn it into a tragic situation, but rather gradually continue the verification in such a manner that each and every one understands the situation, that we're all sitting and discussing it in a manner that it's as if we're not talking about him. Who is he? He's just a result of what we did to him with our education and how we prepared him for dealing with all these foreign influences, good or bad. And therefore, toward him, we don't have any verification toward him personally, but rather along with him, we need to sit down and think. So how do we prepare you for a situation that, so that you'll next time be able to deal with and verify things and do the most correct thing in life? What do you think is missing? We need to make him into a psychologist. He has to know the method of life, the correct method of life. He needs to know this. I want to make a verification between the system of shame that I understand that the child gradually, the parents need to develop him properly inside, and what's accepted today, that it parent shames his child. You did this and that, you should be ashamed. What's the difference between a parent that causes his child that does system that's really, really bad and shames him, and something that a child understands from inside by himself and he develops this shame from inside? That's what I want to understand. I think again, it's about discussing and talking all the time, where I'm explaining my life. This is how I was at work, and this is how I was in the store. He hears everything and absorbs everything. And from there, I penetrate how I relate to life. He has no way to get this attitude. School doesn't teach him. The gang in school, we know what we can learn there. If it's possible to learn something positive, it's only from the parents. Therefore, we need to look out for that. It all depends on us. To the extent that we're always in transparent verifications about each thing in life, he learns from that. He learns from that. He learns tons of things, everything. What I have until today, I can say that most of the way I relate to life is still, I'm already old. I'm taking it really from my childhood, from my impressions, my first impressions from life, from my parents, from my grandparents. It's different than it was today, of course. We lived our house. On the one side was my grandparents. On the other hand were the other grandparents. We had one big yard, and we had three houses. And that's how I lived. There was a garden with trees and everything. A ping pong table, my big dog. And I would hear from everyone. I would always hear their attitude to life, and that's what shaped me. There's no way to get rid of it. What I received up to the age of finishing school, that's it. As a parent, is it good for me to come to my child and say you should be ashamed of yourself? No. No, you shouldn't say anything. He needs to say to himself, but how will I bring him to a situation like that? Let's say he did something really, really not okay. Really not okay. We don't talk about it. We don't talk about it. We talk here and there, all kinds of things that include that big bad thing. A little bit here, a little bit there, so that he'll put together this puzzle inside of him, this understanding and approach. He needs to reach it. But how do I react when he does the thing? That's the basic policy, I understand, the general policy. But let's zoom into the situation. That's the general policy, not to say be ashamed and not to talk about this whole thing in a direct manner, but to divide it into smaller units and gradually. Now, as a title, I understood that. Let's see how I implement it. Let's say the child comes home and he did something today that's really, really bad. I don't even want to give you examples. He did something terrible. What do? You be silent. How will he know that we're even relating to it? And not sweeping it under the carpet or not, it's not important to us. It depends on whether if we talk, we'll be able to know how to talk. Are we prepared for it? Are we prepared to open these things up in such a way that it will be as if it has nothing to do with him? Something that happened in life. You mean not directly connected to him? No. And then, in this manner, to begin speaking. Maybe to hear some story, to watch some small movie, some short movie, talk about things that are apparently happening like this and like that to other people. If it happened with a few friends, him and a few of his friends, it's good to do a discussion with them. That's interesting. What they think, why they think like that. And we're like friends. We're like big friends of theirs. And in a very open manner. And also to say the same thing happened to me when I was younger. And the fact that you did, it's good to do it to a few kids together. The fact that you did this today reminded me of the exact same situation that happened to me. I didn't know that until today they're still doing these things. That's it. And listen to my story and tell them the story in a manner that they can intervene and yes and no, and how it was with me and how it was with them, and take it to such a place, the memories of life. From them, for them it's yesterday, and for me it's 40 years ago. It doesn't matter. Whether it happened or not, it doesn't matter. It's for the sake of education. That's what I would do. But no pressure, punishments, or silence, we're not talking to you or something, or we're mad, nothing. As if nothing bad happened. That's it. Otherwise, you can't learn from it. To be silent, or give an example from yourself, that's the best. When I give an example from myself that I did the same thing and how it happened and like this and like that, we need to think about the situation. If it's just teens, say just teenagers, 15, 16, 17, then maybe get a few parents together and speak with them out in the open without families or anything. But to relate to relate to it simply. You reminded me of a story. Now that you spoke about it, it took me back a few years to the age of 15. This is one of the strongest memories I have from the feeling of shame. It was on my way to school. We got on a bus, a few friends, and the bus was very stuffed. So we got silly, and we had some teacher that she spoke in a very unclear way. She was sort of stuttered. And we started imitating her on the bus, and she was on the bus, and we didn't pay attention, and she was behind us, and she heard everything. I remember at that moment, I wanted the ground to swallow me up. I wanted to disappear. And at some point, I began to think, it's interesting how she'll react. Will she punish us? Will she say anything? And she didn't say a word. Just like you described now, that's why I remember it. She didn't say anything. She didn't make a face. She didn't even mention it. And that precisely made it even more difficult. In some place, I was praying for her to say something, for her to punish us. Because her silence and the way she acted for the rest of the days, if nothing happened, I remembered it as very difficult to forget. It's another example of behavior. So how can we truly, now that you gave me this example, I remembered how that teacher behaved in a very clever way. And in this manner, she really engraved in me some understanding about how to not make fun of others, someone who's different, and this shame that we tried to make fun of her. And in the end, the shame inside was tremendous. So still, as parents, that was a situation that happened like from above. But how can we as parents organize situations? Let's say I see my child really did something, let's say, in our house that's really not accepted in our house, to make fun of someone or humiliate someone. And I see my child doing it. I see it. I'm watching it. That's natural for kids. Kids like doing that, making fun of others. How can I truly, we go home, what do I do? What do I organize around him? Sometimes we need to give an example. One thing against the other. Sometimes we need to exchange roles to come get into this child's shoes, and if other people make fun of you like this, because he doesn't understand or feel at this moment when he's making fun of someone that this thing is negative. He's enjoying it. He feels high, etc. He appreciates himself more, that he doesn't have that same default. That same fault. So here we need to give him a feeling of the other side. And here maybe we need to let him act himself, act out roles, that he'll be someone else, and how they can make fun of him. I didn't understand. That he'll dress in someone else, and how this other person is making fun of him. Let's say my friend was making fun of a child that's fat, and he said, "You're fatso," or something. So now I'm not fat, and he's fat. I'm making fun of him. But I have something else to make fun of. How they started emphasizing this fault in me and making fun of it. How will I feel? I need to do it to myself. I'm not sure I understood. Again, I didn't understand. What do I say to the child? What does he have to do? Now you need to be like somebody else making fun of you. He has to actually make fun of himself? Okay. Try to do it. You don't find any faults in yourself? Okay, well, we'll tell you what's wrong with you. Let's say you don't know how to say a few words. It happens to children. Or you're weak at something. You've got something wrong with you. Let's make fun of it. You have to give them this feeling that the other person has. Because the fact that I'm passing my the fact that I'm making fun of someone, it means that I'm not participating. It means that I can't be in his place. I'm just enjoying the fact that I'm greater than him. I need to feel the sadness of my fellow man, the pain of my fellow man, and then I... And then apparently it's like I got a shot of, how can I put it, something against, it's like I got a shot against that fault. Let me give you a picture. We need to develop in the child a feeling of his, of our fellow man. Everything we're talking about, maybe a few talks, it's all a lack of feeling others. We talked about shame and appreciation, boundaries. It's all about the feeling of others. If I feel myself instead of teachers, police, instead of good kids, instead of bad kids, then I already from that, I have to be a, some kind of machine that I'm verifying in them. I'm verifying in them what they are, and I'm dressing in them in something. I understand them. I feel them. I'm not locked up in myself, and I'm just myself. And then it's if I know who I'm really dealing with and I can see who they are, what they are, then I know how to navigate things. I know who to belong to more or less. It's very important. I want to give you a picture developing this feeling of our fellow man. I'll give you a picture and how as a parent we need to deal with it. While implementing this thing of not saying, don't be... My two kids were in some place outside the home. They were in some place. I hear from my wife when we got home. She said, listen, they were there, and this is what happened between them. What happened? Let's say one. Let's say they went on a trip, and one of them ran out of water, food, and the other one had. And because of the bad relations between them or some fight, one didn't give the other. Then they come home in the evening, and even though I had spare, we're two brothers, I had, and I didn't give it to you, to my sister or brother, they came home, and now he has a headache and doesn't feel good, and he's really sick. I come home, I hear this scenario. This is what happened today between two of my kids. One had and didn't give to the others. Why? Because he didn't feel like it. Doesn't matter why. Now I, first of all, I'm in total shock that the relations, bad relations between them comes to a situation where one is really sick. He didn't eat, he didn't drink, and his head hurts, and the other didn't give him. What does it mean not to come say to him, you should be ashamed, or not to speak about it? No, 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 no. I'm in shock. No, you need to do something else, as if nothing happened. You need to say, look, he's sick, he doesn't feel good, we need to look after him, let's look after him together. Let's give him food, let's warm him up, as if nothing happened. That he will begin to understand by what both of you are treating him, that he'll understand how bad it was what he did. That he'll understand on you how you're sorry and how you're looking after his brother, what a terrible thing he did. And we don't say anything about what he did. Otherwise, he won't understand. Education means him learning himself. from the situation, from the case that he sees next to him, that you are shaping his environment, theater, the environment, and from there he learns. From words he won't learn anything. You only learn from the environment. In every place, in every situation, not words. Even if you don't have anything left in words, then like a workshop, round table, discussions, you create. And this way you create a workshop, an environment, the influence of the environment on a person. Environment is not one. It's at least two. That they have an opinion and they can influence the third one. Let's say I want to do a workshop now. That's a good idea. I want to have a discussion. Why aren't you sending your kids to the integral education? I would ask before all these problems that you're presenting to me. But let's say, kids aren't machines. You can't turn the kid around and you can come home every day and every day there's a new adventure. Let's say you did a workshop and you did this, you did role playing and everything, and tomorrow you have a new surprise. Life is full of surprises, like they say, and tomorrow as well. So we're giving the different situations to understand, to begin to understand how we deal with them. And our goal in this discussion is to understand the tool of appreciation and shame, how to work with it inside the house. So what I understood, what you said here, from what you said here, I'll divide it into what yes and what no. No is not to come to him directly and say, like it would come to me naturally, be ashamed what you did to your brother. He was dying of starvation. Now his head hurts. That's what we shouldn't do. What should we do? To go with him to his brother and start treating him. And from that, the child is supposed to understand the sadness. It's as if you don't understand anything. You're making him a sandwich and saying to his brother, go give it to him. Go give him a glass of juice. Ask him how he feels. It's as if like nothing happened. All kinds of tricks like that. Without reminding him, what's the rationale behind this? I want to understand it. Recognition of evil. A person needs to understand. A person needs to become aware of the evil in him. A child needs to feel. If you tell me that I'm bad, then I immediately think you're bad and not me. So I go on defense. Yes, I erase it, but as it comes from inside, it's like you said about the thing that happened on the bus with your teacher. In other words, let's understand this rationale. If somebody externally tries to drop some shame on me, I try to push it away and I put up walls of protection to protect myself. Why did I do it? And I try to find excuses and I try to justify myself. But if precisely it comes from me in a roundabout way, let's say we want to discuss this in the family, all the family together, this scenario that I explained. The discussion itself is not embarrassing. No, I would be bury myself underground. We're sitting kids and the parents and we're talking about it. You'd be changing colors. No, we shouldn't talk about it. No. So how can we do something, a family thing around this? Only by treating the child. I just gave a very specific example, but let's say it's something else. I want to put it like this. Somebody did something really embarrassing, like this example that I gave. Let's put it on the side. Did something really embarrassing. Is it correct to speak about it together in the family forum? I don't think so. You said before the technique of telling about something that happened when you were younger. Again, somehow we need to bring it to a verification. Not just that he'll be ashamed and not do it, but to give him now a new perspective about such cases. That will be the result. What do I have to do to achieve that result? Then we still need to discuss it, but it's not immediately and not in the same place. And in another case, and in a case that I have, You know, kids forget things. In another week or two, I'm opening a photo album and I see myself there as if, here, come here, I want to tell you something. And then I tell him something about my childhood, something that happened to me or to someone else. Something that's not directed at him personally. And in that, I'm neutralizing his protective force where he's blocking himself and he doesn't hear anything. He begins to justify himself in each and every way. If he truly hears, we learn from life. What's not clear here? But still, I would send the child to integral education. If I was your child, I would be able to do whatever I want. You wouldn't speak to me. You'd have like a big delay of a few days, let's say a week, and after a week, I'd get something from you, yes? So I would be doing whatever I want. I'd be going wild, but you gave me, you lit a red light in me that's something I need to deal with, and I'm dealing with it. I'm not reminding you what you did. I'm telling you about a situation that this is what I did and how much I was ashamed and how much the situation was bad, etc., without any connection to what you did. There's that moment where a parent meets his child after the child did something terrible. And the parent, it's been brought to his attention. So let's say I'm you and the parent. I'm the parent, you're the child, you did something really, really bad, really bad. I know about it. Now I see you. What am I supposed to do with you? So I understood from this discussion that I don't come to you directly and say, you should be ashamed. I heard what you did today. My hair stood up. No, that I don't do. So what do you do? You're calm, nothing happened. I don't understand. Why are you demanding this from him? From the child? Because he did something terrible. But he's not a result of you. He didn't come out of you. Of course he did. So why are you coming to him with complaints? So what, do I go to the mirror to talk to myself? And but what about the child? He did something terrible. But it's not him, it's you. You educated him. What do you want from him? So what do I do with him? I don't know. I had the same thing with my child. He was in a boarding school. They had some game where they took boards from some place and built some hut or something. You know, kids playing. And I got a phone call that they want to throw him out of this boarding school. So I said to my teacher, I don't know what to do. And he said, call them back and scream at them that you brought them a child 2 years ago. It was a sweet child. And what's happened now, it's as a result of their education. So why do you have to get him ruined? They need to correct him, and then you'll accept him back. So now I understand that I don't need to complain to him. I need to complain to myself. So the first stage is not to come directly attacking him, but rather to be with myself. If I was with myself, then I wouldn't be with you now. How to be a better parent. So the first lesson I understand is first stop yourself. Don't come to him. Don't attack him. Come to yourself. Yes. The first station I understood. The second station, fill in what's missing, what you didn't give in his education. Fill it in. That's too general. Not generally. This is how you learn that this is what you didn't teach him. So thank God this happened, this case, it's not so bad, but now you have a lesson. You now need to take him in some very sophisticated manner and penetrate this thing specially so it will be straight into his bones in the correct manner, that he won't transgress this again in life. And you need to plan these things a few times, here and there. You need to go over the same situations, in the same cases, the same discussions, verifications, clarifications, so it'll be clear to him. But this is something you don't do. That he'll understand one thing from the other, not in a direct manner to talk to him about it. What's the issue of dividing it up into units? I see you keep saying that, because you can't do it at once. At once, it will never go in. The impression from one time is usually negative. That it goes into a person in a manner that he'll use it in the correct manner in all directions, so that he'll know how to turn it around correctly. You need a few times to go over it, to be inspired by it, by the situations that he's in, different stories about the same issue. It's truly in him as some foundation that's connected to all kinds of cases. I want to ask a bit about, from a different angle, there's kids that are much more sensitive to shame, and there's some that they have elephant skin. Nothing touches them. It's not elephant skin. It's a lack of understanding, lack of participating. They're more blocked off. They're more spoiled. But it's possible to come to them, to reach them, maybe through learning something, through something that they... We need to penetrate inside this little person through the elephant skin, of course, because kids are very resilient, especially in our generation. They're very egoistic. They're not capable of listening. They're not capable of participating with someone. They're always behaving according to the formats that they receive from TV, from internet, from all those things. That's why I say we need to have a very strong environment. I don't think that the parents have time or strength or patience or knowledge to deal with kids. I think that we have to do this inside schools, inside extracurricular activities of integral education. Many times in a family, I see two kids that could be brothers. There is a year or two between them. One of them doesn't care at all about what they say to him. They grew up in the same house with the same values and everything. And the other one is very, very sensitive. You just say one word in the wrong place and they're insulted and everything. And the other one, you can scream at him from today to tomorrow and nothing will move him. You see very big gaps. And many times it brings questions. We're all different from each other, thank God. And only by integrating in the integral education can we reach a situation where we're all integrated in one another. I would like to raise another aspect. We spoke about shame and appreciation. Now we spoke about shame up till now. How is it correct to use appreciation in the house as an educational tool for advancing the child toward the values that we want him to acquire or that we want him to develop in relation to other people in the house? We need to appreciate him like a big person, first of all. You want him to be treated like a big person, you need to behave like a big person, and we appreciate you like this. And we really treat him like a big person, not da-da-da-da-da, but really, truly, like we treat each and every person. Today they grow up very quickly. They become big very early. What does that mean? To treat him like a big person. Let's say, how old is he? Give me an actual example. Let's say we're talking about an 8 or 9 year old. Let's say an eight year old child. He's an adult in every way. What does that mean, actually? It actually means that I treat him like a man. Like a man. Responsibility and attitude and participating, and I treat him in this manner. I even consult with him. here and there. I truly present to him an attitude that obligates him to be responsible and big in how he relates to himself and his environment and toward me. Can you give me an example? I ask him, what do you think we should do? Should we walk or should we take the car? Should we do this or that in the evening? Maybe we'll do this, maybe we'll do that. Tell me, please. What do you think about this or that? I truly want to raise him up. I don't show in that I'm small and in need of this. I raise him up. It has to be very much felt. In other words, you take his opinion into account. A child many times feel, oh, there, are they taking my opinion into account or not? Or they don't see me, I'm invisible. So this connection, there's a connection between appreciation that the parents give and the self-esteem that a child grows up with. We know that a child's self-esteem is built from this connection with his parents to the extent that he got feedback. That he got feedback not just about positive reinforcement and compliments, but what you said, I'm consulted with. They take my opinion into account. I'm taken into consideration. He's taken into consideration as a friend in the family, a member of the family. Can I consult with one of my kids about how to deal with something bad that another child did? Yes, that's very good. Yes. Something that his brother did? His brother, I don't know if it's worth it. If there's the correct preparation, yes, but just like that, no. Another question about another child. No, I'm talking about his brother. So you're saying, is it worth it for me? How should I use appreciation inside this group, the family group? Is it worth it for us to say, good for this girl, our wonderful girl, Nitsa, who did this and that. Is it good for us to compliment one another? How do we use the other side of the coin? I can't react to things like that because you're cutting it out of context. You're cutting something out of life, and we don't know about everything else happening in life. I don't know about preparations or anything. I'm talking about a situation where I'm rebuilding my family from new based on the integral approach. There's 3 or 4 kids. If there's small kids and teens, I want to start formatting my family according to the integral education. Should we use appreciation in the house? Yes. But on the condition that it won't awaken jealousy, bad jealousy in others from the other kids, yes. That it will awaken in them jealousy to grow up like her, to be like her. How? That's according to the situation in the family. If there's a good relation, then jealousy adds to everything. It reminds me that a friend told me that she has 2 kids. Her older child is really good and gets lots of positive reinforcement and compliments. And the smaller child, he's 3 years younger, and he's really naughty. He does everything the opposite. And they're trying to understand why it's happening. Why is it happening that there's such a gap? And then another mother said, you know, each child wants to be special. He wants to feel his specialness. So the big child, you're always strengthening him and giving him positive feedback. And the little child, he also wants. So he discovered that his way is to get the negative reinforcements. So the question is, if we have such a situation, how do we transform it? How do we cause this little, smaller child to also feel like he's getting enforcements and not because it's a big problem, because he'll never be like the big one, so it's not worth it for him to even go in that direction. It's not worth it for him. It's worth it for him. He wants to get his attention in another way. The good ones, the bigger ones, good. You need to verify what he can be good at, something that's different from the older one, to excel in something, sports or some special activity, and for that he gets compliments. And in that way he feels special. but he can never be like the older one. The same direction, he can never be. So in other words, there's another element here. He has to be different. A parent has to help with the young child. Let's say the older one is good at homework and the younger one is very sportive. So he should be strengthened in that direction? Yes. You should give him compliments about that. Okay, our time is up. How would you summarize this whole issue of shame and appreciation inside the family? It's two forces. The values, the strongest values that influence us. In everything, we should use them to shape little one's personality and the adults as well. We're missing using shame and appreciation toward each and every person. Then we would be in a different place. Thank you, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Until next time, New Life.